Okay, everybody got a Bible?
That's where I think I need to go.
You betcha. John, you must have seen some.
Uh-huh. This is, look in 2 Samuel. Should I clip this onto myself? Or? Is it, were you just to the bottom part of my tongue? Is that where it goes? Or I don't know. Is
it the earlobe?
Put it on your nose.
Okay. I shouldn't really be making fun of this nice equipment. Makes me a new little titty here. Oh. 2 Samuel 24. Get serious. This is
take one, take two, take three.
24. 2 Samuel 24.
Verse 24, chapter?
Chapter 24. 2 Samuel.
Chapter
24. I don't know what page. This is the story of how Daniel's numbering the people made God's anger come upon Jerusalem, and it's part of the Pentecost story because of where it took place. And start reading in verse 1. And again, the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel. And he moved David against them, saying, go number Israel and Judah. For the king said to Joab, the captain of the host who was with him, go now through all the tribes of Israel, from Dan even to Beersheba, and number ye the people, that I may know the number of the people. And Joab said unto the king, now the Lord thy God add unto the people as many as they are, 100-fold, and that the eyes of my lord the king may see it. But why doth my lord the king delight in this thing? But the king's word prevailed against Joab and against the captains of the host. And Joab and the captains of the host went out from the presence of the king to number the people of Israel. And they passed over the Jordan and encamped in Aroer on the right side of the city that lieth in the midst of the river of Gad, really a valley by Gad, and towards Jazer. Then they came to Gilead into the land of Tatimhadshi. Wow. And they came to Danjan and about to Sidon, and came to the stronghold of Tyre and all the cities of the Hivites and of the Canaanites. And they went out to the south of Judah and even to Beersheba. And when they had gone through all the land, they came to Jerusalem at the end of 9 months and 20 days. So this was a great big long project. And Joab gave the sum of the number of the people unto the king. And there were in Israel 800,000 valiant men who drew the sword. And the men of Judah were 500,000 men. And David's heart smote him after he had numbered the people. And David said unto the Lord, I have sinned greatly in what I have done. And now I beseech thee, O Lord, take away the iniquity of thy servant, for I have done very foolishly. When David arose in the morning, the word of the Lord came unto the prophet Gad, David's seer, saying, go and say unto David, thus saith the Lord, I offer thee three things. Choose thee one of them, that I may do it unto thee. So Gad came to David and told him, and said unto him, shall 7 years of famine come unto thee in thy land? Or wilt thou flee 3 months before thine enemies, while they pursue thee? Or wilt thou that there be 3 days pestilence in thy land? Now consider and see what answer I shall return to him who sent me. And David said unto Gad, I am in a great strait. He's very distressed. Let us fall now into the hand of the Lord, for his mercies are great. Let me not fall into the hand of man. Well, what's going on here is, you know, it's the natural tendency for all of us to sort of see how we're doing, you know? And the thing that occurred to me was this is analogous to our desire to want to see ourselves making progress. You know, it's like how am I doing spiritually? You know, is and so you go and you make the survey of yourself, and you know, that's to me that's the only way you can relate that to anything that's going on here. I mean, the charismatic movement, when I was a member of the charismatic movement, a card carrying member, I might add, back in college days. We didn't really study this too much because, I mean, that's the whole thing. It's like you want to number the people. You want to make sure that every week you're getting more numbers and everything. So that's like a whole other world. And it's interesting because this is a Pentecost reading and related to the coming of the Holy Spirit, that it's a passage that they never look at. But.
First time I heard this was at, do you remember Milton Green, James Robinson?
Yeah, yeah.
Jim Milton Green was
the carpet layer turned prophet. Yeah.
He taught on this.
Really? Well, there you are. So, but he was radical.
1983.
Yeah.
What did he teach? That you take an accounting of yourself, of your circumstance, and the pestilence comes.
Well, good for him. They didn't do that where I was coming from. And where were we? I was reading blah, blah, blah.
You were
in 15, okay. So the Lord sent a pestilence unto Israel from the morning even to the time appointed. And there died of the people from Dan even to Beersheba 70,000 men. When the angel stretched out his hand upon Jerusalem to destroy it, the Lord repented of the evil and said to the angel who destroyed the people, "It is enough. Stay now thine hand." And the angel of the Lord was by, this says, the threshing place. It's the threshing floor that we've talked about of this guy, Arauna, the Jebusite. And David's spoke unto the Lord when he saw the angel who smote the people and said, "Lo, I have sinned, and I have done wickedly by these sheep. But these sheep, what have they done? Let thine hand, I pray thee, be against me and against my father's house." And Gad came that day to David and said unto him, "Go up and rear an altar unto the Lord in the threshing floor of Arauna, the Jebusite." And David, according to the saying of Gad, went up as the Lord commanded. And Arauna looked and saw the king and his servants coming toward him. And Arauna went out and bowed himself before the king on his face unto the ground. And Arauna said, "Why is my lord the king come to his servant?" And David said, "To buy the threshing floor of thee, and to build an altar unto the Lord, that the plague may be averted or stayed from the people." And Arauna said unto David, "Let my lord the king take and offer up what seemeth good unto him. Behold, here are oxen for burnt sacrifice, and threshing instruments, and other instruments of the oxen for wood." And all these things did Arauna, like the king, give unto the king. And Arauna said unto the king, "The Lord thy God accept thee." And the king said unto Arauna, "Nay, but I will surely buy it of thee at a price. Neither will I offer burnt offerings unto the Lord my God of that which doth cost me nothing." So David bought the threshing floor and the oxen for 50 shekels of silver. And David built there an altar unto the Lord and offered burnt offerings and peace offerings. So the Lord was entreated for the land, and the plague was stayed from Israel. And this is the reason this is a Pentecost reading is because the place of this staying of the plague, you know, where the angel with his sword stopped, and it really is a place of mercy and you know, undeserved grace from God, was on this threshing floor that we learn elsewhere in 2 Chronicles 3. I'll just pop over there and read it to you because it's just one verse. Wait, that's 1 Chronicles. That's not going to help us. 2 Chronicles. In 2 Chronicles 3, it says, "Then Solomon began to build the house of the Lord at Jerusalem in Mount Moriah, where the Lord appeared unto David his father in the place that David had prepared in the threshing floor of Ornan the Jebusite." Ornan is another word, another way to say this Arunah guy. And so this was the place, the very place where the temple was going to be built, on a threshing floor. You know, so underneath all that stuff in the temple, it's a threshing floor. And the threshing floor is where all that stuff takes place spiritually that we talked about, the separation of the wheat from the chaff. And from this story we see it's a place of mercy, because you know, that's where the angel stopped. But we also see it's a place of destruction, because that's where God was pouring out destruction, you know, in this same story. And everywhere we look in this Pentecost readings, there's fire and destruction on the chaff, and then there's grace and mercy and, you know, pouring out of waters of life, you know, on the seed. And I think what I was trying to say earlier is that when I was, you know, doing the charismatic movement thing, we talked a lot about the Holy Spirit, but we never talked about the aspect of the Holy Spirit that obliterates, you know, everything about you. You know, burns away all the chaff, and, you know, there was nothing to talk about that. You know, it was all about getting good stuff, you know, and that's not what, you know, what Pentecost is about at all. You know, you go through and you look at these Pentecost readings that we've done, and, you know, it's talking about, there's one place, and when it was a Habakkuk or something, and there's dead bodies all over the place, and, you know, these psalms, there's half of the psalm is about destruction and half of it is about, you know, the Holy Spirit giving life and coming down. So it's something that without the full, you know, this is like talk about the full gospel. This is the full gospel version of Pentecost, which includes total destruction of everything about you and just burns up the chaff. And it's, you know, it leaves nowhere for flesh to gain any righteousness or any glory. And you wouldn't see that. I mean, you've got to look at these stories carefully, or you don't see that part of it. You know, you can just kind of squint your eyes and go, yeah, there's just glory going all over the place, and so, you know, we should all get a little bit of it. But that's not the way it works. It's his mercy, undeserved mercy. You know, I mean, God just decided to stop the pestilence for no reason other than that repented of him to see, you know, see it happen. You know, and plus, he stopped it there because he knew it would be saying something. It was, you know, everything has 50 meanings. You know, so this is, it informs us about the temple, which also informs us about the events of the Feast of Pentecost that was completed, fulfilled in Acts 2. So that's what I had to say this morning.
Well, what I was hearing, if the numbering of the people is like unto the examination of yourself and the how are we doing thing, and God hates it because you're turning your eyes on yourself, and you're examining you're into yourself, and the result of that is a massive pestilence or plague, then there's an incentive here not to get into that business.
Yeah.
Be numbering yourself, or, you know,
taking account of yourself.
Taking account of how am I doing spiritually.
You know, actually, if you look at it, it's, you know, his general guy, who's it, Joab or something, you know, he said, it's all fine and well that if you are doing good, you know, you can just like praise God because everything's cool, but you don't have to like focus in on that. That's what the sin was, you know, and then, you know, it's, and then naturally what flows from that is, you know, how can we, you know, increase production? You know, how can we, you know, what's going wrong and how can we, you know, it's like, that's all, that whole thing is totally with your eyes on yourself.
That always makes me think of the churches I used to go to that had the attendance on the front. Every week they did the attendance.
That's why, was this something I said?
Yeah, you said somebody crying or yelling or something up there.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Crying. Yeah, he's going to see what it is.
God. Yeah.
Can you tell whether it's a person or what?
It says in the law not to do that.
Yeah, somewhere. Well, it said, yeah, somewhere. What'd you see?
Count your blessing. Put a little man in a walker with a nurse next to him, and he's hollering for help.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, every now and then we get those runaway oldsters, you know, or come down.
Come running down the block.
Heard somebody hollering for help.
Yeah. Yes.
Where?
Yeah, somebody was down here pounding on the gate. We thought it was like the ride for Roger. Maybe Roger hadn't gotten up or something. Did you say it's some kind of wreck?
3:30 or 4:20 till 4.
No,
he was gone by then.
He has to leave at 3:30.
He has to leave at 3:20. Okay, is everybody ready to launch out there with no consideration of
how many people we have here?
Yeah, that's, you know, that's like, you know, getting discouraged because there's not very many people is the same as any of this other. You know, it's like, you know, I remember the time Joe San and I started teaching a little Bible study with nobody there, speaking into the air, you know, and that was fine. And in many ways, a lot easier than, you know, the kind of stuff we're doing now. But
did you long for those days?
Those days of just...
It's more wine for him.
We didn't have refreshments in my day. All right, then. Go about your pointed rounds. Do we get to keep the U-Haul trailer?
Do we get to keep the U-Haul
trailer?
Yeah,
they're giving it to us.
Two people died.
And how do we get it back without
them?
I'm wondering the same thing.
Yeah, you could have Levites pull it like Egyptian slaves.
I ain't going to be doing it. Sure they were.